Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet
I made some wine. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad. That's right.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today. It's my pleasure, as always. You got to be glad you hung out with us because our good friend John Fox is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. John is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of the tax attorneys in our Brain Trust, actually retired now tax attorney, has been now for a while, and he went best 2 falls out of 3 with the tax code for a number of decades. He's now, I think he's still a professor at Mount Holyoke College. He's the author of one of my favorite books, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, and then his other one, which he updates every time we have a new presidential campaign, 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. And our good friend John Fox, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. I was hearing that bad apple part. That's new. I never thought of you as a bad apple. So that's a good sign.
That's an old story. That's been going on for a long time. Hey, John. By the way, are you still teaching at Mount Holyoke?
I am. I teach a course on it's a liberal arts study of tax policy. It's called Winners and Losers, and it's a wonderful course to teach.
Yeah.
And it's all about the social and economic outcomes of our tax system. And
right.
So it's not for lawyers. Lawyers should know this, but it's for people to help make them responsible voters.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, one of the things that what we have right now, your 10 tax questions. You and I've been covering this. You know, what is this, the third? Is this the third election that we've been
This is the second election.
The second one, okay.
And this one, if the readers go to 10, the number 10, 10taxquestions.com, they can see it for free. They can print it out for free. So there's no charge to look at any of these questions. And
I appreciate that. Go ahead.
And there are 5 myths and misunderstandings that are at the end, at tail end for people. They're common things that I encountered in my 36 years of practicing law where people really had a great misunderstanding of certain aspects. So it's fun to do. It's only about 60 pages. It's a sort of short course in what questions we should be asking the candidates to really get away from sound bites. You know, you're one of the few programs that actually explores the tax policy issues beyond sound bites. It really gets into it.
Well,
the taxes are
a tax on a small business depletes precious capital from us. And I want my small business audience to understand what taxes are doing to their capital when it's going out unnecessarily.
Well, and you really discuss it. I mean, in other words, what happens, most interviews of the candidates look for a soundbite. They invite a soundbite. That's it. End of the question.
Right.
Let's go on to something else. And my argument is that the future of the income tax, Social Security, and Medicare ought to be central issues in this campaign, and they're treated like sidebars. You know, people just say a few things, oh, that's good, the tax system is bad. You know, higher taxes are good, higher taxes aren't good. On to the next question.
That's right.
It's very superficial. And so I think that if people went to my 10taxquestions.com, they would learn a lot.
All right. Now, John, I've got you. You're now the moderator of a debate between the 3 presidential candidates.
Right.
The 2 Democrats and the Republican. And you're the moderator. You have all the questions. What would you like to ask Mr. Obama first about his tax policy?
Well, I'd like to ask all 3 of them, how are you going to address the most severe crisis that we have in our tax system, and that's the Medicare's plunge toward insolvency. In 11 years, the Medicare Trust Fund, that's 2019, is going to be broke. There'll be no funds in the Medicare Trust Fund. So I'd like to ask the candidates, because at that time, Medicare reimbursements for Part A, that's hospital insurance and that's nursing home, will have to be cut by 21% if we don't do something about it.
What do you think they will say? What do you think the candidates will say?
I think they'll say it's really important. We ought to put a commission together and study it.
Uh-huh.
You know, nobody's willing.
How will you press them on that? How will you push back on them on that?
And I'd say we've been studying it for a long time. This is not something that has suddenly come on the scene. You ought to, I would expect that running for president, you ought to have some clear ideas of what policies you think are necessary.
All right, now you're the advisor for the Democrat side, let's just say. What would be your advice to them on what they should propose?
Well, I'd propose a commission if I were running because I'll get away with it. But if I were telling them what I really think the policy is, let me tell you what I think is really wrong. All of us who are parents or grandparents love our children and grandchildren. Mm-hmm. But the way the system works is that once you become 65 or older and retire, you no longer pay any tax or any premium mm-hmm. for this policy. I'm saying the seniors that can afford to pay ought to pay something.
All right, that's a new wrinkle. Hold on to that thought, John. We'll take a quick break, folks. Right back after these messages. 20 till. Here's Van Halen to take us out. Welcome back. It's 17 till. The wisdom of Atlanta Rhythm Section, ladies and gentlemen, ARS. Do it or die. Even when times get rough and you've had enough, still got to try. I love those words. That's what you and I are all about, isn't it, small business owners? And that's the reason why I encourage you and why you are, I know you're thinking about tax policy of the United States. Because every nickel of tax that goes out of your business that wasn't necessary to go out of your business is precious capital leaving your business. And you and I can't afford that. We have to keep all the precious capital we can, because what you and I do with our precious capital is we put it back into our business, and we hire more people and we grow our businesses and we grow the economy. That's the definition of a supply sider. That's what I am. And John Fox knows that, and he loves me anyway, don't you, John?
I do love you. I love your program, Jim. I really do. And we don't agree on everything, as you know, but I just think that you explore stuff that nobody else does.
Well, I try, and I appreciate you recognizing that. John, you were telling us about the problem with Medicare, and the fact that it's going to be insolvent in 11 years, and you were telling us about the problem.
Yeah, after 2019, if we don't fix it, and the fix is expensive, you'll either have to cut Medicare reimbursements by 21%. So if you have a $100,000 hospital bill for a surgery or something, it's easy to get there. You're going to be asked to pick up an additional $21,000. So that's really serious. Now, here's mm-hmm. the problem. Because seniors vote, and the AARP and others have enormous
yep.
influence.
AARP is the new enemy of small business, by the way. Go ahead, John.
Well, I mean, it's a huge problem. Seniors are considered. I'm a senior, by the way, and I don't think I'm feeble. I don't think I need a special federal relief package. But what happens when you retire at age 65 or older? You no longer are paying Medicare taxes because you don't have employment. You don't have wages. And Medicare Part A, which pays for hospitalization, pays for nursing home, doesn't charge you a premium. So you have a free ride on a system that's going broke. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is the unpopular thing for every senior who can afford to pay a premium.
Who can't afford it? You're talking about means testing.
Yeah, doing something. I mean, in other words, if you're poor, there are a lot of seniors that can't put food on the table. So they're, I don't want them to. But most seniors could afford to pay a premium.
Right.
And I believe that they should be expected to, because the alternative is to say to those children and grandchildren whom we love, we want mm-hmm. you to pick up our bill.
Right, right. All right, let's move over to some other areas of the tax code. What are some other, some of the sexier ones? I agree with you that Medicare is a problem, but that's not as sexy as say, capital gains tax or something like that. What do you think?
Well, let me tell you what is sexy and nobody talks about it. And I wrote on April 15th, 2004, I wrote an op-ed for the Washington Post on that, and that's the mistreatment of single people.
Mm-hmm.
Now listen to this. There are going to be about 60 million single people filing tax returns this year, more tax returns than joint returns. So they're a big population.
Mm-hmm.
About 75% of them are going to claim only the standard deduction. They don't itemize. And as a result of that, they're going to be expected to pay an income tax when their income barely exceeds the poverty level.
Mm-hmm.
Now hold that. It's about $10,500. They get above that, we want them to start paying a tax. But if you take the typical family of four, husband and wife, two little kids, their poverty level, the official one, is about $21,000. But Congress says to them, because they vote, we're going to not tax you until you have about $51,000 of income because you get child care credits and child credits and the rest. Well, that's 2.5 times their poverty level. And I'm saying to single people, come on, single people, I want your voices to be heard. I'm not single, but I want their voices to be heard because they need considerably more than $10,500 in order to pay their rent. To pay, I mean, and that's before FICA. After FICA, they have about $800 left, and after $500 of rent at a, you know, for an efficiency, they're left with $300-$400. They can't live on that. So really, something that makes me angry is two things: one, Congress treating single people so badly, and single people tolerating it. I'm calling on them, stand up, tell those candidates, we want to be treated, you know, equal. We want to, we don't want 51,000, but we want something more like 10,000, I mean 15,000, 16,000, 17,000 before you tax us.
Let's change horses a little bit and talk about what's being proposed by the Democrats, the Democrat candidates, and that is to raise taxes. Basically, everybody knows that if a Democrat is elected president, that taxes will go up, and that doesn't make me happy as a small business owner, John. What do you think?
Well, I think we have to be
I'm talking about marginal rates and as well as capital gains and dividend tax.
Yeah, the areas in which the both Democratic candidates would raise taxes is for people earning over $250,000. For the rest of people, they're going to keep all the tax breaks of the Bush tax cuts in 2001, 2003.
What about the small business tax breaks?
I think they're going to be there.
Section 179 deduction, you think they'll keep that?
Yeah, I think they are, you know, unless maybe if you're very rich. I mean, I haven't seen how they refine that for very high. You know, it's where they get beyond really being small business. So I think what they're saying is let's get back to the higher tax rates. The top rate now is 35%. They're going to make it 39.6% or so, something like that. But I think the real issue will be the treatment of capital gains and dividends. But, you know, that tends to be a fairly small
population. That's an economic driver, though, John. Lower capital gains drives the economy and encourages investment. It causes people to divest of stocks, puts capital in the marketplace, and it builds tax dollars for the government.
Well, there's a lot of debate. This is one area where maybe you and I have some disagreement. The fact is that under the prior Bush administration, they said the most effective the tax rate for raising revenue was closer to 20%.
Yeah.
So there's all that controversy. What's the most revenue?
Hold on,
raising?
John. Hold on to that thought. When we come back, okay. I want to ask John. I got a lot more tax questions for him, and we'll do that right after these messages. 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. John Fox is our guest.
You're gonna want me for your first.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our good friend John Fox. John is the author of 10 Tax Questions the Candidates Don't Want You to Ask. Now, that's the book he's going to give you if you go to 10taxquestions.com. That's the number 10taxquestions.com. And he's going to let you download this booklet that he printed that he and I have been talking about now for about 5 years. And it's updated with the new issues for the current campaign. But his other book, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax, is something you really need to have in your library. It's an important civics book, as well as just for nothing else. It's a very important book. And John, I know that you're not exactly – I don't know if you guys have talked about putting this out again, but I'm sure it's available somewhere.
Yeah, you can go to Amazon.com and you can get as many copies as you
want. Okay, good. I was hoping that they were still printing. I knew it had been out for a while. So that's by John O. Fox, ladies and gentlemen, If Americans Really Understood the Income Tax. Now, one thing that here's something that I wanted to tell you that's just as fundamental to me as anything that I am about. I have asked small business owners all over this world, if you had more of your tax dollars to keep, what would you do with that money? And without blinking, without taking a breath, without pause, without hesitation for one split second, Every single one has looked me right in the eye and instantaneously said, I would put it back into my business.
Yeah.
John, is that not an argument for lowering taxes on small businesses?
Well, you know, I think that small businesses deserve to be encouraged, and I think that the I think it's likely that they would do it. Absolutely, I did want to come back to one thing about the capital gains tax, and it's something that I know that you and I have a concern about. The idea of having a lower capital gains tax for long-term capital gains is that it's good for the market. It's good for the Americans. You know, it's good for the individual, but we want to know, is it good for society? And the idea is that with a lower capital gains tax, there'll be more investment in the United States. Mm-hmm. There'll be more capital available. The fact is, Jim, that if you go to the people who have most of the capital gains tax, and those are the top 10%, top 5%, top 1% of income earners, they have overwhelmingly the capital gains that are subject to this low tax rate. My bet is that most of their investments today are not in the United States.
More and more people are investing abroad.
They're investing abroad. Not only are they investing abroad, but they're investing in companies that are competing with U.S. companies and U.S. Mm-hmm. small businesses. So in order...
So you're saying you got a problem giving people a tax break who are investing in companies that are competing against the United States.
Yeah, and competing against those small businesses. I can understand
your position.
That's one of those.
So you're saying we should give the tax break to investments that to the domicile of the investment, not to the domicile of the investor. In other words, if it's a U.S. capital gains, they should get a tax break. If it's in something abroad, they shouldn't get a tax break.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if the mm-hmm. idea is that it generates more capital for
I haven't
US
heard anybody
companies.
Else. I haven't heard anybody else make that distinction. That's very interesting.
Now it's somewhat complicated, but the reward ought to be that you're strengthening our economy, not
right.
their economy, strengthening the competition.
I think I agree with you on that, John.
Let me tell you something else. Well, that's good. Let me tell you something else that would provide more capital to small businesses, and this is one that that most people don't realize. A conservative as well as liberal economists say that we are over-subsidizing expensive private homes. Mm-hmm. The mortgage interest deduction, which is a deduction on up to $1 million of mortgages to buy, build, or substantially improve a personal residence or a second residence.
You call it McMansions.
The McMansion. That, in fact, when you look at economic studies, that along with the right to deduct your local property taxes, the right to sell your house without any capital gains tax, all that, these economists say, conservative and liberal, are driving too much money into homes and
taking capital. Is that a big number? If we fix that, is that a big number?
It's a huge number. This
really?
Year, it's going to be about $70 billion alone
wow.
for the mortgage interest deduction.
So what would you do? Not let them have the deduction for the second house?
I would not let them have the deduction, and I would reduce the – I would focus it on the first-time home buyer of a basic home. If you want to buy a luxury home, you want to add that seventh bathroom, the entertainment center, that's your bill, not the government's.
Mm-hmm.
And if we did that, we would have a huge savings, and that money banks could loan it, it could bail out
Medicare.
They could bail out Medicare, but the really crucial part of this is that there would be more money at lower interest rate for yeah. small businesses.
John, I got to wrap things up. Thank you for being here. Thanks for always making us think about these things. When you come back, we need to talk about healthcare policies and the tax code.
I'd love to. It's a real privilege, Jim.
Thank you, John. John Fox, ladies and gentlemen, he's the best, as you can tell. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.